This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Biden gets the nod. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, August 19. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
On the second night of the Democratic National Convention, the party delivered enough support through a roll call to make Joe Biden its official nominee for president.
The Postal Service is suspending operational changes until after the election. It's not clear if any will be reversed.
The stock market continues to amaze. The S&P 500 is now fully rebounded from the lows it suffered at the outset of the pandemic.
And the newest perk for employees? Help paying off student loan debt.
But some of them have been noticing that employees haven't been using fully all the choices, particularly on, I think, on the retirement side. And I think one of the reasons is that some of the younger employees come in with, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of student debt.
Wiles at the Arizona Republic on the ways companies are trying to reduce employee stress through student loan help. The Democrat Party has formally made Joe Biden its presidential nominee shortly after 10 o'clock last night on the second day of the party's virtual national convention. Mr. Biden received the support of enough delegates to clinch the nomination during a roll call vote. The former vice president, who's failed in presidential runs twice before, will face Republican President Trump in the November election. The party used the first hour of the event to rebuke Mr. Trump's leadership. Here's former President Bill Clinton.
At a time like this, the Oval Office should be a command center. Instead, it's a storm center. There's only chaos. Just one thing never changes: his determination to deny responsibility and shift the blame.
Tim Murtaugh, spokesman for the Trump campaign, says the big night for Mr. Biden means that, quote, his supervisors from the radical left are now formally in charge. With the first debate more than a month away, the Democratic convention and its Republican counterpart next week have the potential to provide Mr. Biden and Mr. Trump their greatest visibility for weeks. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy said the U.S. Postal Service is suspending operational changes, such as removal of mail processing equipment and collection boxes, until after the November election. The agency is trying to demonstrate that it can handle an expected surge of mail-in votes due to the pandemic. Mr. DeJoy also said the agency won't change retail hours at post offices across the country or close any mail sorting facilities. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Coronavirus necessitates it, but even without that, people should be able to vote in a way that is comfortable for them.
Meanwhile, Mr. DeJoy is due to testify before Congress this week. The former logistics executive took the role of Postmaster General 2 months ago. He's implemented changes such as controlling overtime and reducing extra chips, which some postal union representatives and customers said caused delays. Some efforts to reduce costs predated Mr. DeJoy's arrival to the agency and were recommended by the agency's inspector general. Well, the coronavirus pandemic that has upended much of American life makes no exception for political parties. The Democratic convention that enters its third of four nights this evening has gone completely virtual, and the Republican gathering next week in Charlotte, North Carolina, will be about the size of a PTA meeting. For top political donors, the convention can be the Super Bowl, Academy Awards, and networking event all rolled into one. There are parties, celebrity spottings, hobnobbing with past presidents and future senators. Well, all that maybe next time. Here's Julie Bykowitz, national political reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Julie, take us through this.
It's a great place if you're a lobbyist or a donor to glad hand with politicians, make connections, and, you know, get some perks like free parties to go to, free booze, free food, you know, just kind of mixing and mingling with people who share your politics and who maybe could, you know, throw you a little business in the future. And with everything being completely online this year, there's none of that socializing that's happening.
So have any of these folks figured out some sort of workaround?
Not really. There are some lobby firms that have tried holding, you know, live stream panels with different speakers or having interviews with politicians, but it's certainly no one believes that it's the same feel. I mean, when you're sitting at home watching something on your computer screen, it just, no matter what you do, is not going to feel like a VIP experience. And the donors I talked to pointed that out. You know, they said that they completely understand why this is happening. You know, we're in a health pandemic here, but, you know, they can't help but sort of remember the way things were 4 years ago and, you know, kind of eager to get back to the way things might be in the future, too.
All right. So speaking of 4 years ago, since that was the most recent time now, what was it like back then? Like who attended? What were the parties like?
Well, the parties are always kind of there in the background. And because of that, you didn't necessarily go to the caucus meetings or the council meetings, all of the sort of technical business reasons to go to a convention, sitting in a room, making policy suggestions and so forth. Why do that if you can actually go to a party sponsored by Comcast or a law firm and you know, get those little sausages and some cocktails? And so it's interesting because now everything kind of festival-like and party-like about the convention scene has been stripped away, and people who are interested in it are just left with the guts of it. So, which is tuning into a live stream of the Ethnic Council Caucus that is talking about, you know, ways that Democrats could reach out to more people, or the Youth Council, stuff that in the past, you know, some of the attendees, especially on the high-end donor and influencer lobbyist front, might have passed over. That's kind of all that there's left, plus the primetime speeches, which you can watch on TV or online and just kind of assess from the comfort of your own home.
All right. We're speaking with Julie Bykowitz, national political reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her story is called "During COVID-19 Pandemic, Political Parties Go Without Conventional Perks." Is there any way to fundraise off this event? I think there was a customized Joe Biden ticket or something like that.
Yeah, so there are still attempts to do that, and it'll be interesting to see how much money is raised during this all online convention, because anyone who has been listening in is hearing a lot of whoever's speaking or hosting say, you know, we could use your help, and urging people to go online and donate to Biden's campaign or the Democratic Party. I'm sure it'll be the same for the Republicans next week. And then in addition to that, the Biden campaign put out kind of a cute little fundraiser email the other week saying that you could get your personalized convention ticket if you donate a certain amount of money. But, you know, it's sort of a ticket to nowhere because, again, everything's online. So it's more commemorative than anything else. And also the campaigns have kept up their sort of tiered donor approach where they're, you know, saying that if you donate $100,000 or $250,000, you get special perks and access. But these are all sort of in name only because, again, it's online. And as the donors were telling me, it's just really difficult to feel like you're part of something exclusive.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Julie Bykowitz, national political reporter at The Wall Street Journal. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you. They are real people ready to give real advice on everything from laptops to the cloud. And they offer tailored solutions powered by the Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Dell advisors listen so you know that your small business needs have been met. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. The S&P 500 has erased its losses incurred as the coronavirus pandemic took hold in the U.S. It closed at its highest level ever yesterday, up just a fraction to close at 3389, 3 points higher than the market set on February 19th. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The turnaround took just 126 days, helped by unprecedented government stimulus. The S&P is now up 4.9% this year. Shares of everything from big technology companies to beaten-down energy stocks have rebounded. Amazon shares are up nearly 80%, while Clorox is up 49% this year. The Wall Street Journal says many investors are struggling to reconcile the gains with 170,000 coronavirus deaths in the U.S., unemployment reaching its highest level since the Great Depression, and the spoiling of the longest ever economic expansion. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Setting a new record milestone in 2020 once seemed improbable to many investors. The S&P 500 dropped 34% from its February high to its March low as the pandemic brought economies around the world to a virtual standstill. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Democrats last night formally nominated Joe Biden as their 2020 presidential nominee as party officials and activists from across the nation gave the former vice president their support during the party's all-virtual national convention. Biden's wife, Jill, says her husband is what the country needs.
We have shown that the heart of this nation still beats with kindness and courage. That's the soul of America Joe Biden is fighting for now.
Also featured last night, former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Colin Powell.
Number two.
Dogged by investigations into campaign finance violations, first-term Republican Congressman Ross Spano of Florida has been ousted in a GOP House primary. Spano becomes the eighth House incumbent to be defeated in this year's congressional primaries.
Number three.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi provided a ray of hope in the economic stimulus battle by saying her party could be willing to make cuts to its offer in order to seal a deal. She said the House is willing to cut its bill in half to meet current needs. A Republican-led Senate panel has concluded that Trump campaign contacts with Russia in 2016 represented a grave counterintelligence threat. The nearly 1,000-page Intelligence Committee report laid out links between President Trump's associates and Kremlin officials. The report concluded that the Kremlin engaged in an aggressive, multifaceted effort to influence or attempt to influence the 2016 election and that some Trump associates were keen on help from Russia. It said the Trump campaign, with many affiliates who had no government experience, were easy targets for foreign influence. Notre Dame has abruptly canceled all in-person classes and moved to fully online instruction for at least 2 weeks, the latest college to struggle with reopening its campus. University President John Jenkins.
The objective of these temporary restrictions is to contain the spread of the virus so that we can get back to in-person instruction.
On Monday, Notre Dame reported 80 new confirmed coronavirus infections. University officials have pinned the surge to an off-campus party. Michigan State also moved its semester to online only. They're called Toast Yay. The Girl Scouts have introduced a new French toast-inspired cookie flavor to join their lineup of offerings in January. The cookies feature frosting and are shaped like mini French toast slices.
Toast Yay?
Toast Yay.
That's a weird name.
I don't know.
Just dip it in coffee, though, and figure out how good these cookies are. That's what
sounds
I say.
Super sweet. Super sweet.
Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Hey, glad you're with us. For decades, employers have tried to improve the financial well-being of their workers, not just by delivering paychecks, but also by providing benefits like health insurance and retirement plans. Lately, more attention has been paid to helping employees deal with another pressing problem, mounting student loan debt. Here are some of the ways how from Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic. Russ, explain.
Well, I think there's several ways the companies are starting to explore this option. And really what, you know, I think they're looking at is the reality that most larger companies, employers, offer a range of benefits, health insurance, 401k plans, paid time off, all this stuff. But some of them have been noticing that employees haven't been using fully all the choices, particularly, on the retirement side. And I think one of the reasons is that some of the younger employees come in with, tens of thousands of dollars of student debt, and that's kind of their focus, and it sometimes distracts them from participating fully in, say, in the 401k plan. So companies are starting to nibble at this and come up with some different approaches as how to tailor a benefit plan that helps people address their student loan problems.
All right, so one of the ways is allowing workers to use paid time off and put the cash equivalent of that into or toward that student loan debt?
Yes. And I think this is the first time I've actually heard of this. This is a program developed by Fidelity, which, we think of as primarily an investment company, but they set it up or helped Unum, the insurance company, UM, put it together. And Unum was realizing that, a lot of their employees have student debt issues, and a lot of these people were not utilizing fully their paid time off benefits anyway. You can use them for vacation, sick, whatever. For whatever reason, people were leaving some of these unused PTO days on the table. And Unum does offer a lot of PTO days, 28 a year, almost 6 weeks.
Wow.
So people can, if they want, the company is allowing employees with student loan problems to apply the monetary equivalent, as you said, of up to 5 PTO days a year.
And this is preferable, say, to a company making an actual payment to a student loan company on behalf of an employee?
It's a different version. I mean, I think what you described, direct payments, are still more prominent. But I think we're in this situation where a lot of people have PTO days, and we're working at home. We don't know if we're going to use them. We can't travel anywhere on exciting vacation because of the virus. Some of us are hoarding PTO days in case we get sick later in the year.
Yeah.
So the possibility is that a lot of people are going to be leaving some PTO time on the table.
Thanks, Russ. Russ Wiles, personal finance columnist at the Arizona Republic. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We've heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked at a breakdown of the most successful portfolios, you'll typically see real estate. So why isn't it one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Well, simple. It hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. Whether you're new to real estate investing or a veteran, Fundrise can help. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high quality, high potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or mutual fund. Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for more than 130,000 investors with a team of real estate professionals that carefully vets real estate projects. Start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's fundrise.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. Fundrise.com/Gordon.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, August 19. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris delivers remarks at the Democratic National Convention tonight. Joe Biden got the formal nomination last night. Postmaster General suspending operational changes until after the November election. The Senate Intel Committee releases its final report from the Russia investigation. Excessive heat warning in effect today in California as more than 24 wildfires burn on top of that. Dunkin' today begins the pumpkin spice season. And the New Jersey diner worker who got a massive gift from customers. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you, ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. A global wave of experimentation in using smartphones to combat the spread of COVID-19 has stumbled over privacy concerns, security glitches, and slow program rollouts, leaving dozens of initiatives, including those in the U.S., with little evidence of success. Public health experts say some especially aggressive tactics overseas may have helped slow the spread of the coronavirus, but they also sparked criticism from privacy advocates. It's a story by Craig Timberg, reporter at The Washington Post. Craig, where are we with this?
Well, I think we all were kind of seduced by the notion that we could have it all, right? That the apps could be voluntary, they could be super private, everyone would use them, and they would actually tell us useful information. And it turns out that we can't, at least at this point, it doesn't seem like we can have all those things. The places where the technology has kind of sort of worked are essentially in authoritarian countries where they just grab data and use it however they want. The places that have tried this voluntary route, just not enough people have uploaded the apps for them to work, and the companies have put so many restrictions on the information they collect that they're not that useful to public health officials.
Oh. All right, so you referenced in your story kind of these particularly aggressive tactics in like South Korea and I think Kuwait. Explain what happened and what they did.
Well, in South Korea and Israel and frankly a bunch of other countries, they just grabbed all the data that's flowing through the cell phone networks, and that's really effective. Like if I come up with a positive test, the government can theoretically go and look at everywhere I've been because the cell phone companies, routinely and in an ongoing way collect all of our locations. You could find out who I was close to, where the infection might have happened, et cetera. And a bunch of countries did things like that. And there are those who think that worked. The record is still not quite entirely convincing, but at least there's a decent argument that that kind of stuff worked. The voluntary stuff has been much less impressive. People have struggled to find any evidence that it's working.
Wow. So some of the biggest hurdles here are what?
The two big ones are, the biggest one is probably just not enough people using it, right? Okay. If it's on my smartphone and it's not on your smartphone and we're sitting next to each other in a coffee shop, it doesn't matter if I then send out an alert to everyone who I was near because you don't have it on your phone or it's not activated on your phone. So in order to get a really effective kind of alert system, a lot of people need to use these things continuously, and it just hasn't really happened. There have not been that many alerts that have gone out. But the other problem that people complain about is that some of the compromises that were made to protect people's privacy end up being consequential in limiting the kind of useful information they collect. For example, if I am in a coffee shop, it might be useful for the public health officials to know that I was in that coffee shop and then maybe do some contact tracing among people there. But the location of where you are is not collected by these apps at all, and that has been a source of great frustration to public health officials.
Wow. We're speaking with Craig Timberg, national technology reporter at The Washington Post, about his story entitled Cell Phone Apps Designed to Track COVID-19 Spread Struggle Worldwide Amid Privacy Concerns. Thoughts, some of these were designed or marketed as privacy-friendly.
Yeah, they are privacy-friendly. What they are is they're just not very information rich.
Okay.
And I'm not arguing against that. I mean, I think there's a very good argument made that we don't want all of these companies and apps to know exactly where we are and who we associate with. So I'm not discounting that as a legitimate concern. But the practical impact for public health officials is they don't have that much data on where we've been, and they're not allowed to release much data on who we might have been, who we might have potentially infected. And the other thing that's happened over the past few months as these apps have been developed is there's all these remarkably low-tech tools that clearly work, right? Masks clearly work. Social distancing clearly works. Hygiene works. Contact tracing works. Testing works. So the idea that there was kind of a high-tech solution here there just isn't a lot of evidence that really any of it has worked that well, while all of these other things have actually worked pretty well.
Hmm. Well, when this sort of came out that we were going to work on some of this tracking, and you mentioned in your story, I thought, wow, Google and Apple getting together, this must be big. This is going to work out fantastic, and it just hasn't materialized.
Yeah, you know, it's natural to think that companies as rich and powerful as Google and Apple could solve any problem, right? And but let's think about what they do is they solve particular problems that are lucrative, right? Like search, yeah. They're really good at that. Email, they're really good at that. Social media, they're really good at all of these things. But public health is just public health is complicated.
Thanks, Craig. Craig Timberg, reporter at The Washington Post. 20 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. The T-shirt is a menswear staple. Unfortunately, the basic tee we love has its issues, right? Shrinkage, bacon neck, fading, and stretching, to name a few. But the modern take on the classic T-shirt from Cuts Clothing has completely changed the game. With their amazingly soft, custom-engineered Pika Pro fabric, Cuts T-shirts have an athletic, tailored-looking fit that's comfortable anywhere, from a day in the office to a night on the town, and everything in between. I have to say, I love my Cuts T-shirts. I've worn them casually with shorts and sandals, but also under my suit jacket in more professional settings. They're one of the most comfortable, durable, and fashionably flexible shirts I've ever owned. Plus, they're pre-shrunk, wrinkle-free, and hold their shape over time, no matter what style you prefer. That's why Cuts is the only shirt worth wearing. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Again, cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know almost nobody is having a good year in 2020, and that goes doubly for Karens, who figuratively are being blamed for a lot of society's ills this year. That's why one restaurant in Texas decided to step in to support beleaguered Karens, declaring this past Monday Karen Day. According to the promotion put on by the Chicken Cone in Houston, Karen Day launched to show sympathy to the good Karens of the world by offering anyone who is legally named Karen free food. According to a Facebook post, to receive the free food, anyone named Karen had to come into the restaurant and use the passphrase at the register, "I want to speak to the manager." The customer also had to show ID to prove that they are really a Karen. Restaurant spokesperson, who, yes, is named Karen, told Fox News that about 40 Karens showed up to take advantage of the deal, which included a free chicken cone, which is a waffle cone filled with fried chicken. Not everything went according to plan, however. Two different Karens showed up and asked to speak to the manager. The manager apparently forgot it was Karen Day and went up to them to find out what their complaint was all about.
Oh, boy. This is a promotion in your store, man. Come on.
Yeah, I guess he didn't get the memo that morning.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's very cool.
By the way, a waffle cone filled with fried chicken.
Yeah. I mean, like,
yeah, let's not gloss over that. Yeah. I mean, let's figure this out here.
I could use that right now.
Do you? So we need folks in the Houston area to help us, I guess. Is that... do you eat it as is, like you'd eat an ice cream cone, or do you pull the fried chicken out and eat it individually?
I would think so. I think you'd want to eat it because of the sweetness of the cone mixed with the salty of the fried chicken. I think that would be really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are some people who use a fork, but they are probably looked down upon, I would think, by locals in Houston. I certainly would.
I don't know if the fried chicken is still on the bone and then put in the cone. I don't know
how that
works.
It's like the cut up pieces of chicken, basically, that are fried up. Yeah, wow. I saw a picture. It looks pretty amazing.
Are you eating that plain, or are you putting like barbecue sauce on that? Or
Maybe some honey mustard.
Honey mustard for you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If that's allowed. Again, I don't want to go against tradition. And the idea of going into a public bathroom has you even more on edge than usual this year. This could be a solution. A pair of Tokyo parks are attracting extra attention for their unusual new features: public toilets with transparent walls. The restrooms feature see-through walls that turn opaque when a user enters the facility and then locks the door. The restrooms are designed to allow you to quickly determine their cleanliness or lack thereof and whether they are already occupied. One important thing to remember, though: you must remember to lock the door when you go in, or else the walls of the restroom will remain see-through. Oy. And the person inside doesn't know whether or not that's the case, potentially leading to a lot of embarrassment.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
I mean, with people, you know, with the cameras coming by and the videos that would show up on YouTube almost immediately. Yeah, so be careful.
I initially thought these things might be like porta-potties.
Right.
And I thought the amount of guys... like at a football game who are tailgating,
wouldn't lock
the porta potty door. Yes, would be putting on quite the show, I guess.
That could add some hilarity for sure.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you. They are real people ready to give real advice on everything from laptops to the cloud. And they offer tailored solutions powered by the Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Dell advisors listen so you know that your small business needs have been met. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for spending time with us. Several states have received federal approval to disburse an extra $300 a week in unemployment benefits. Arizona, Iowa, Louisiana, New Mexico, Colorado, Missouri, and Utah were the first states to receive approval for federal emergency management agency funds to send out the enhanced unemployment benefits. President Trump, you'll recall, signed an executive order earlier this month calling for the additional $300 a week. Under the order, states can also use their own funds to provide another $100 a week for a total supplemental payment of $400, though it's unclear whether any states will do so since many face cash crunches. The Wall Street Journal says governors in states like New York and New Jersey have indicated they are unlikely to fund the extra money. Labor officials in Utah and New Mexico said they would not pay for the additional $100. Among the states that have received federal approval to send out the extra $300, some said they were unsure when they would be able to start delivering the money. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Democrats last night formally nominated Joe Biden for president, vowing his election would repair a pandemic-battered country and put an end to the chaos that has defined Republican President Trump's administration, former President Bill Clinton.
It's Trump's us versus them America against Joe Biden's America, where we all live and work together. It's a clear choice. The future of our country is riding on.
The second night also featured former President Jimmy Carter and rising stars of the Democratic Party.
Number two.
The Postmaster General says he's halting some operational changes until after the November election, as Democrats contend the changes threaten mail-in voting, and some states plan to file lawsuits. Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia on Fox.
It smelt more than a little bit fishy that all of this took place right after Mr. DeJoy was appointed in the middle of June.
Postmaster General Louis DeJoy announced yesterday he would suspend his initiatives until after the election to avoid even the appearance of impact on election mail.
Number three.
The Republican and Democratic leaders of the Senate Intelligence Committee made criminal referrals of Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Steve Bannon, Eric Prince, and Sam Clovis to federal prosecutors in 2019, passing along their suspicions that the men may have misled the committee during their testimony on Russia. A criminal referral to the Justice Department means Congress believes a matter warrants investigation for potential violation of the law. The committee detailed its concerns in a letter to the U.S. Attorney's Office last June. President Trump got an update on heavy storm damage in Iowa and the construction of a border wall in Arizona yesterday during a swing through two crucial battleground states in Cedar Rapids.
Winds from 80 to 110 miles per hour have carved a path of destruction through over half of Iowa's really great counties, many of which I got to know over the years.
The storm killed three people, destroyed huge swaths of cropland, and left 500,000 people without power. A car-sized asteroid just made the closest known approach to Earth without actually colliding with the planet, and researchers didn't even know about it until hours after it had already passed. The asteroid zoomed past Earth on Sunday, getting as close as 1,800 miles away. It marks the closest asteroid flyby ever recorded in which the object actually survived.
So we were reactive, not proactive in this case.
And if it had hit the Earth, how 2020 would that have been?
Yeah, well, that's a great point. Well, that's a little unsettling that we missed it. Thanks, Jen. For Stephanie and Dwayne Lindsay, August 1 started out as a perfect day filled with clam digging and playing at the beach with their three-year-old dog, Rue. But the day turned into one of their worst after a crash left the couple injured and Rue missing. CNN says they were rammed by a car traveling 65 miles an hour, ejecting Rue. After the couple was treated at the hospital for minor injuries, they returned to the crash scene to look for the dog. even if it ended up being just her lifeless body. In the morning, the couple took to social media for help after failing to find it the day before. 14 hours after the crash, a Facebook tip led them to a neighborhood 3 miles away. Rue was sitting under a tree in a cul-de-sac. She had some road rash, soft tissue damage, and trauma. Not bad considering she was thrown from a moving car. She's being nursed back to good health with love and treats. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.